because with great taste, only 96 calories and 3.2 carbs, Miller Lite was brewed to be enjoyed from first to last. Miller Lite, hold true. Celebrate responsibly. 2019 Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Average analysis, 12 fluid ounces, 96 calories, 3.2 grams carbs, less than 1 gram protein, and 0 grams fat.
Now, from Fan Run Radio, it's the Voluntary Reaction presented by Miller Lite. Raw, unfiltered, real.
All right, Voluntary Reaction getting underway, presented by our friends at Miller Lite this evening. Russell Smith punching the time clock. Turn the headphone knob up a little bit on the board, Hayden. I turned that down earlier. On the board, right in front of you. No, the headphone knob. Hold on, I'll do it.
The other headphone knob. We suck again, everyone. We suck again. I don't know. Yeah, it's so much better. There's not a lot more we can say about that at the intro of this. We suck.
That's my fault, Hayden. It's all good.
I'm sorry.
The big knob that says headphones, yeah. Tennessee putting the finishing touches on a pretty dismal performance. You know, the only thing I was wondering, we beat them by 21 2 weeks ago. They're currently beating us, according to, we might be a little bit behind on the stat tracker, 17 right now. It's 86-69. It's a final now. 86-69, Tennessee loses by 17 at Arkansas. And, yeah, this is, if you got anything else you want to talk about, like, I realize we are contractually obligated to talk a little Tennessee basketball, and we could do that here, but, my goodness, that was absolutely brutal. So, anyway, Voluntary Reaction, I'm Russell Smith, John Tyler, Hayden Wallen in here with me, and, pretty much, I guess, at this point, NCAA tournament is – I mean, that's completely done now, more or less officially, barring some sort of miracle run from in the SEC tournament, which is not going to happen. And, yeah, I mean, it's been a frustrating season, and it's coming to a close.
Thank goodness.
Tonight was frustrating. I'm trying to think of – some sort of commentary to offer tonight. I have nothing, man. We didn't play well. We didn't look good. They took it to us. That Mason Jones dude absolutely lit us up. I mean, it's been a while since we've been lit up by an individual player to that effect. What do you have, like 36, 37?
He ended up with 37. 11 for 19 and 3 for 7 from 3. 12 of 15 free throws.
Nobody played particularly poorly. Nobody is like, oh my god, like that guy was awful today, but nobody played well, and it's just, it looked to me like a team that's out of gas, and it looked to me like a team that the collapse at Auburn like took some of the wind out of their sails. And I think that some people will speculate, did Rick Barnes, you know, the comments about why he didn't take the timeout because he didn't feel like it would help us, because the implication being that the team doesn't take coaching, and then the comments about lack of guard play, I don't want to say are the guys tuning him out, because I don't think that's the case. But I also think that the guys are starting to look ahead towards next year, closing the book on this year. And for this was kind of the first time that I felt like that watching the team this year.
We had that small run in the second half where we cut it down to two.
Yeah.
At like the 14-minute mark. And then it's just like that's all we had. That one run is all we had, and we gave everything, and then we just had nothing left after that. It was done. We were done.
I was surprised that we defended as poorly as we did, because it feels like, you know, that's kind of been a hallmark for this team. Arkansas shot 48% from the field, including 39% from three-point range, which is a big number for us. They hit nine threes tonight. On the drive earlier today, Roger asked what I wanted to see tonight, and you know, I just wanted to see effort, which we saw a little bit of. I don't think we got a great effort tonight. But I said the turnovers. We had 24 at Auburn. If we could keep that number, I think I said to a dozen or less, it'd be fine. We finished with a dozen. So, like, you did that, but we had 10 in the first half when we dug ourselves the big hole. And to only have two in the second half, I guess, is a big improvement there, and that's probably why we made the run. It's kind of like Coach Fulmer was talking to us today on the drive with the football team. You have like six turnovers in the first two games. You can't do it. Like, if you can't, if you turn the ball over 20 times in a game, 10 times and a half, you're not going to have success. You're just not. And I would expect that to improve next year with Vescovi having a year to. I'm guessing Barnes is going to harp on ball security, dribbling drills, and things like that. I think Josiah is going to get better. I realize you're not a big fan, John. He's kind of getting the whipping boy treatment. I get it. It's cool. I don't know if it's cool. It's whatever. Springer's going to come in here, and he's another option at the point. Like we're going to be better, I think, in terms of ball security next year. But I just don't think there's much you can do about it this year. The timeout thing. And I guess this is just going to be like a meme for the rest of the season when it comes to Tennessee basketball and social media. But by the way, you want to jump in, 865-546-8200. We're going to give you at least an hour this evening, 546-8200, if you want to jump in on Voluntary Reaction presented by our good friends at Miller Lite. Oh, cold Miller Lite. It's what you need tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Goes down good on these nights when you're a little bit frustrated by watching the basketball balls. We obviously were not ready to play from the opening tip. They jumped on us. I believe it was like 11-1 at one point.
It was bad.
Rick Barnes did not wait. Did not call timeout.
Didn't call timeout.
He did wait. He waited until the first TV timeout to the under 16.
Yep.
And it was almost like a big F you to the fans. I'm the boss. I'm in charge. I'm not going to be bullied by the media, by the fans, by whoever. Mm-hmm. Like, this is my team. And it was almost like he was doubling down. Like, you call a timeout when you get blitzed like that right out of the gate. You call a timeout. You just do it, man. It's coaching 101. I could go down Saturday morning to Dean Hill Rec Center and find – I'm not even kidding – and find you six girls, 12 and under coaches that would realize when your team's not ready, when you get caught flat-footed, you call a timeout, you chew somebody's ass, and you get out the – and you get your team's attention. You don't wait until the game. I'm not going to call it out of hand because obviously we came back, but you dig yourself a hole that's pretty darn – like we struggled to get out of. You call a timeout.
We even said here in the studio that you and I both were screaming at the TV to call a timeout because it got to 3-14. Before we hit a shot, it was in 15:03 before we hit an actual field goal, and we were screaming at the TV to take a timeout. A little later in the first half, Rick did call a timeout at the appropriate time.
He's so stubborn, man.
And what happened, Russ? What happened, Hayden? When he called the timeout, we came out perfect setup play, and we scored and got an and one.
And I think that was the beginning of like an 11. That was
out of a timeout. So we're so bad. We are so bad coming out of a timeout, allegedly. We don't know what we're doing. That's why he didn't call a timeout. The one time he does in the game, set play and one. Yep. You're right, Rick. We suck at that. Good on you to not call a timeout. You showed us.
Oh, man. It's so maddening, man. It's so maddening. And Are we in agreement that this season, like, maybe we make the NIT? What's the goal at this point? What are we doing?
I just want it to be over. I just want it to be over, Russ. I don't even want to go to the NIT. I know we're going to, but I don't even want – we're going to get put out first round and be embarrassed on our home court. So why? What's the point?
CBI.
We won't do that.
I guess the point is you want to develop and lay the foundation for next year. And I don't know the answer to this question. How much does it help? Does it help Vescovi? You saw Plavsic flash a little towards the end of the game in garbage time.
Fall down?
Does it help Devonte Gaines? Does it help the guys that we're going to be leaning on next year to get any sort of postseason experience? If it is the NIT, is that something that we want? For me, that's what it is. If it helps the team, if it helps the program, the players develop, then yeah, that's obviously what I want. But if it doesn't, if the team's tuned out, if the team's ready to, like, if we would be better served going ahead and giving the players the week or so off that they get after the season so that we can start the really intense off-season workouts, conditioning drills, things like that, then maybe that's better. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know the answer to that.
That's a great question, because is it worth it in terms of their mental state too, in terms of, you know, oh, well, here we – I feel like they always have this here we go again attitude. And so when we go to the NIT, if we play at TBA against some small school and we start losing – they give up. Is that just going to be this lasting thing with these young players then? How are they going to learn to win? They've got to learn to win. And Bowden and Pons and Fulkerson sure as heck aren't doing anything to help them. They're not encouraging them. You don't see them doing the Admiral Grant, getting in their face and telling them what they need to do. They're just like, Fulkerson's drinking his milk and getting on the plane. No big deal.
Let's bring in the Bear. Drinking his milk?
Yeah, the whole thing now. They're doing a whole video thing where Fulkerson's getting on the plane. He's like, I got my milk.
What?
That's stupid.
Is he trying to
fall
on
basketball?
Like, I don't know.
He's an idiot.
It's funny how those social media things are like so much fun when you're winning, and when they lose, they just piss you off.
Yeah. I don't want to see Jalen Johnson drawing pictures. I'm sorry. That doesn't make me feel like he's a big gamer.
Bear's breathing really heavy.
I'm afraid he's had a heart attack.
I'm afraid
Bear?
He's...
Yes.
You okay, buddy?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm worried I'm catching.
Oh, gosh.
I don't want to catch Russell's coughing.
You sound kind of
whatever he's got.
You sound sick.
I have to wear one of those coronavirus masks tomorrow. So,
how do you feel?
You get to this point in this kind of season,
it's a very astute observation.
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I agree with everything you guys have said, other than I don't think we'd get run. If I don't know that we're going to make the NIT, what do we have to get to be in the NIT?
I think you have to be above 500. And don't quote
me
on this.
Where are we at now?
14, I'll look 13? It up.
15 and 13, I believe. Yeah.
So it'll probably come down to either we've got to beat Auburn or Florida at home, and then win a game in the SEC tournament, probably. I don't think we get blown out. The teams we've had that gotten blown out are when you're right on the bubble, and I kind of feel like, you know, maybe your team's disappointed they didn't make it into the tournament, and they just mail it in that first NIT game. So
that's true. That's a good point.
I mean, I wouldn't I'm not going to sit here and act like I'd be just overjoyed at an NIT bid and game, but two things. Number one, I'm not looking forward to the long stretch between the end of basketball and football. But, you know, we do have baseball that's doing really well. And the other thing, I do think it would be good for these guys, to get as much practice as they can before the off season. So,
Bear, do you think that the team we talk about Rick Barnes and his harsh coaching style, the way he's so critical of the players, so demanding of the players, do you think that this team is receiving that well right now?
I mean, it's so hard to tell because it's not like the old days where, you know, we knew. I mean, even during the Bruce Pearl days, could you guys go over there and just any time and watch like the entire practice?
No, I mean it wasn't that open, but
It was a lot more open. It's so hard to tell. If something's going on with Josiah James. It's like you've said for, going back a while now, Russ, that he's not been healthy. He's probably not been healthy all year. And, it seems like every 2 to 3 weeks there was, changes. Either we're adding guys in or, we lost Lamonte Turner for the year. And now, Josiah Jordan James is out. And you're getting Vescovi and you're getting Plosvich. And this team never seemed to really gel and settle in all year. Now, I mean, there have been some bright spots. I think that everybody, if you just take away the disappointment of us not making the tournament, there are some bright spots and some things to really look forward to. I think Devontae Gaines has been a really good bright spot.
Oh, yeah.
I think that, Vescovi, I thought Plosvich looked better tonight. I mean, am I crazy?
In the end, when he came in the first time, he didn't. What happened, Arkansas started switching. They went with a four-guard lineup and a small fifth, and they would put Fulkerson into a switch situation, which would end up with Jones taking Fulkerson, or Jones taking Pons, or Jones taking Plofsic, which is a huge matchup issue. And they just kept doing that over and over and over, and we didn't stop. We didn't do anything to stop doing that. We just let it happen. And that's when he just took control the second half. That's why Plofsic went out when he did, and when he came back in, they weren't doing that because they were up by, 17.
You remember last year where Bone was the point guard on offense, but when we were on defense, Lamonte Turner usually guarded the other team's point guard. I'm guessing that is going to be what we do next year, where Vescovi is clearly like, you want the ball in his hands type of guy on offense, but he can't guard elite quickness. I just don't see it. And maybe he can get better. I don't know. I have my doubts. I just wonder if that's going to be Jaden Springer's territory next year. As far as guard, because that's been a problem for us all year. Kentucky killed us, and I'm guessing they're going to do it again when we go up there because they've got three of those guys, and it doesn't matter if we take Vescovi. They'll just give it to another guy. Whoever Vescovi's guarding is, they're just going to take him straight to the hoop. And, you're right. It's like, okay, we can take Vescovi to the hoop, or we can switch and get on Fulkerson. We take him to the hoop, or we can step back on it, whatever. And, we don't have good answers for that on the roster.
I guess it makes it more frustrating because we were, you really couldn't do that to us last year because everybody defended at such a high level.
And being a good defender
I agree with you, though.
Being a good defender doesn't always mean being fast. It's a lot of it's just being quick, quick step and knowing how your defender's going to.
Positionally aware.
Exactly. Because Lamonte's not the fastest guy in the world, but he knew exactly how to defend the player he was playing against.
Yeah, you defend. You can look at somebody's hips and know where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
And last year's team and Lamonte especially was really good about making sure he could, like you said, quickly get himself into position. And put himself in between, the player he's guarding and where they're wanting to go on the court. I felt like last year's team did a really good job of that. So, are there some things that Barnes, is still doing that kind of like head scratching us? And when we talk about it, every afternoon, absolutely. The timeouts, the thing that jumps out at me, and we did this last year too as well, these long periods where we don't score a basket. I mean, we got like 5 minutes of game time.
Mm-hmm.
And it just killed us this year.
Bear, what are you most excited about right now? Tennessee basketball.
Mm-hmm.
UT football spring practice starting up there in a little under 2 weeks now.
Okay.
Or Tennessee baseball, Tony Vitellico and the baseball balls.
I'm most excited right now at this moment about Tennessee baseball. But honest to God, what I'm most excited about is Tony Vitellico is going to be on the drive tomorrow at 5:05. When everybody tune in, and he's going to play Jam or No Jam. The segment that is taking Knoxville by storm, Russ.
Mark your calendars in your iPhone or whatever. 5:05, Tony Vitello playing Jam or No Jam on the drive tomorrow.
Is this
everybody needs to tune in for that. He's a great sport and is a really good interview. He's fun to talk to.
Got to take care of him, man. We got to lock him up.
Yeah.
Got to go support the team. Got to go out there and watch games so we can build a better baseball stadium, renovate Lindsey Nelson. And it's a lot of fun, man. Like, you know, I'll be honest, I haven't watched any of the games yet. And, like, I'm sure I will at some point. But it is a lot of fun, for real fun. And we will watch the games. The three times that we've been to Omaha, that we've gone to the College World Series here, have been – like the town catches baseball fever, and it's like making an NCAA tournament run where we get fired up about it. We memorize the roster and we know get to know the players and the coaches. And there's just something fun about a College World Series run. And this guy can take us there, man. And I believe he will take us there if we continue to support him. And it's been a long time since we've done that. It's been 15 years since we've been to Omaha. So, we need to go back.
It would just make the late spring and early summer so much fun when you're in it. So, like, and you're right. It's like a mini. It's like going to the NCAA tournament in basketball.
Have we gotten to the point where, remember when we were so bad at football? We're like, well, at least we got basketball season to look forward to. Now we're at the point where we're like, basketball so bad. Well, at least we got baseball season to look forward to. Like, that's where we're at now as Tennessee fans. You were asking about NIT.
I don't think it's anywhere. I mean, we're just, you know, this is kind of a reloading year for Barnes. It's not gone how we wanted it, but I wouldn't even, you know, it's we aren't even in the same zip code of, you know, where we were at with football and looking forward to basketball. So, I mean, we still have a top five class coming in next year in basketball. We've got, you know, top talent in town that Barnes is, you know, coach that Tennessee has offered. Things are still looking bright. It's just in the short term. Yeah, this is kind of a sucky year. I mean, there's no way around it. But
Bear, what about these and Zach, hang right there. We're coming to you. What about these folks on the social media calling our show that are skeptical? And I see Clint, and like, I appreciate the follow and everything. I'm not trying to come on. I'll try not to attack the messenger and just attack the message. But Clint says Rick Barnes should donate his pay increase for this year back to the university. We're back to square one. We're banking on five stars coming in, yet we haven't learned we aren't allowed to have good five-star freshmen. We had a super talented team. Yeah, Grant Williams might not have been a five-star, but he should have been. Like, Rick Barnes can coach talent. Like, what is this narrative that what if we're not good next year? Of course we're going to be good next year. We're going to have good players.
Like, yeah, who was it that said something? I don't know if it was a comment to you on your halftime periscope. It really got underneath my skin. Somebody commented to you something about Rick Barnes and will he be able to manage talent?
Yeah.
You know, have you heard of Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
Or the you know, counting last year's guys, the over 30 other players that Barnes has put into the NBA?
No, and if you want to question, like, okay, but is he going to get him to a Final Four? Fair enough. He doesn't have a great track record in the tournament, and that's a problem, right? But there's no such thing as the perfect basketball coach. We've got a pretty darn good one, but at least with this guy, you know you're going to be in the tournament next year. I mean, I don't know. That seemed like a odd criticism to make.
Let's put this in perspective a little bit. Okay, yeah, it sucks we lost, right? I'm mad. We're all frustrated. We haven't won in Fayetteville since 2009.
Hard place to play.
So this isn't something that's just like, we couldn't win with Grant and Admiral and Jordan Bone in Fayetteville either. So
no, and just I'll preemptively tell Jamie that, yes, I know that Bruce Pearl was the coach the last time we won Fayetteville.
Oh, don't put that out there.
So
We were talking about the NIT a few minutes ago. I wanted to make sure I got back to that. You don't necessarily have to have a 500 record anymore, but last year's NIT, there were two teams with a 500 record. Everyone else had above 500. So
there were two teams with a 500
record? Yes, two teams with a 500 record. Butler and Texas both had a 500 record. And
so really we just need another one or two wins to.
Yeah. And also you don't, if you're a higher seed, you don't have to host. It's in the past, like Indiana, like 2 years ago, turned down hosting, but still stayed in the tournament. So you don't have to host.
Interesting. Anything else, Bear? Hey, wrap up for us, man.
Yeah, real quick. Were you guys aware that starting Georgia defensive lineman Devontae Wyatt was arrested and charged with family violence and criminal trespass today?
Did see that on Twitter, on the Twitter.
I mean, does it surprise you?
Kirby Smart, I'm seeing it on the scroll. Coach Kirby Smart says situation will be addressed internally.
He'll be suspended for whatever crap school they're going to play.
Yeah, that's about it. You guys get out of there. Tough night, and we'll get back to it tomorrow in the draft. I'm looking forward to it. Should be a fun day.
Thanks, Bear.
All right, thank you, man. Boys. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go back to it. 865-546-8200. Your number to jump on board, 546-8200. Zach is next. Hello, Zach.
Wesa W.
Zach, how you been, man?
How are you, JT and Hayden, doing tonight?
We're making it. Thanks for hanging on with us.
Doing all right.
Yeah, no problem. You know, Russ, I've been a fan for many years, and I'm a fan run adamant follower, and you know, just love the shows. I kind of like how you guys have split up voluntary reaction for the basketball season, because you and Reed kind of have diametrically opposed views to this a little bit, and it kind of makes it good between games because you know, you hear a lot of things that Reed says and a lot of things that you guys say on your show. You know, Reed is more down the lines of, hey, did Barnes just luck into having two NBA guys in Grant and Admiral?
I mean, it's a good question. I mean, that's a legitimate question.
Yeah, I would say no, because he's got like a 20-year track record of being good at multiple schools, at, you know, different schools and stuff like that. I mean, I don't think that Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield, like if they had gone to...
If Grant went to Harvard, like he was going to go to Harvard.
That might be a little bit different. I don't know. But I think if he had gone anywhere in the SEC, basically, he would have turned out to be a great player. I think he and Rick Barnes were right for each other. Like, I think that was just a, you know, he's the perfect guy at the perfect time. Obviously, we wouldn't have been as good without him.
Oh, gosh,
but,
no.
No, I mean, I think that's being a little bit unfair to Barnes. I mean, Barnes was the only SEC guy, one of the only, you know, Power Five conference coaches that went after him. And so I think you give him credit for that. He did get him. You know, it wasn't luck. It was like he identified him and said, this guy's going to be good. And he went and got him. And
you look at Texas, when he would coach at Texas, I mean, he had several players that played long time in the NBA that no one else wanted. Thompson, that played with the Cavs with LeBron, I don't think he was a big-time player. T.J. Ford, was he highly ranked? I feel like he probably was.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll do – Hayden's going to look up some more players, but I remember Tristan Thompson specifically.
He came in and like Ivy Royal or whoever was on that Final Four team was like a holdover from the previous coach there, and he did really well with them. But I just think that, you know, Barnes has and listen, man, I've been very critical of Rick Barnes, man. Like the timeout thing, is absolutely obnoxious. I think the way he managed the end of regulation against Purdue in the Sweet 16 last year was borderline coaching malpractice.
I still have PTSD.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got some blind spots, like I said, but he's also very good at getting talent into his program, developing it, preparing them for games, and then going out there and over the course of a 30-game season winning his fair share. I just think, like, as far as in-game coaching, spur-of-the-moment decisions, leaves a little bit to be desired at times.
I agree with that completely. I think that's a great assessment. And that's what, if you think back to what Texas fans were saying about Rick Barnes before he got kicked out of there, it was very similar things to what we're saying now, I feel like. Bad decision-making in-game. He couldn't get the big ones taken, the big wins taken care of in the tournament. And that's what we're kind of seeing. And I think, too, our history as Tennessee fans, we're like, oh, here we go again. Here it comes. Everyone get your big orange cup back on. We're about to start sucking again. We're going to get let down after a great season. And maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we just need to wait. We just need to pump the brakes and just see next season, right? And maybe that's not fair for next season, too. We're going to put these unrealistic expectations on next season already that they're never going to live up to.
Here's the thing, guys. So, you know, I wasn't being facetious. I really do appreciate both views, both arguments. You know, I'm a little bit rare breed because I listen to every single voluntary reaction, even though I may not call in or not. But
poor guy.
I've heard from, I know, from you and Reed, you know, I hear different things, and, you know, Reed's more the Bernie Sanders and Russ is more the Donald Trump. And so, you know, I'm more in the middle where I believe you can, you know, there's a middle where we don't really know yet, right? So number one is if a player from Arkansas has 36 points, why don't you switch to zone? And number two is when Josiah Jordan James, a five-star, I don't know if he's still hurt, but, you know, I asked that question last voluntary reaction to Reed, and he said, from all indications, Jordan James is okay. And I said, well, that's a bigger problem. Because if he's healthy, something's wrong. 0-for-6 tonight, didn't do much. And he's regressing. Y'all agree?
Yeah. I mean, the numbers bear it out. I mean, he's not having a strong finish to his freshman season. I don't think he's 100%. I don't. And I don't know how close he is to 100%. But to me, he's shown enough over the course of the season where it's like, yeah, he's a pretty talented player. He's a physical specimen. He's got some skills. He's obviously got a lot of development that he needs. I think he needs to get a little bit more aggressive mentally out there, but I think he's got a high future. It's just, you know, he's a five-star coming in, and we had these monumental expectations for him.
He was the lowest-rated five-star. Like, it was like Josiah Jordan James, five-star, and the next guy below him was a four-star. So... And if he was a four-star, how would we have these expectations? Or we would just be like, oh, he's a four-star. You know, he's learning. Just because he has that five stars beside his name, we automatically assume. And rightfully so, we look at the five stars Duke gets and Kentucky gets and Gonzaga gets and North Carolina gets, and they immediately are contributors. And so Tobias Harris, another example, immediate contributor. But we think back, Scotty Hobson, super inconsistent, five-star. Now, Josiah, is he hurt? I think he is. I'm with Russ on that. Everything we kind of know, we think he's still just not 100%. But that doesn't excuse him for driving into a double team or throwing the ball out of bounds because he gives up a free open shot.
Well, and I just think so much of that with him and Vescovi both. Isn't it interesting? We kind of give Vescovi a pass on a lot of the same things that were very critical Josiah, and I think that goes back to the whole five-star thing. But I just, and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe next year will be really frustrating, but I just believe that Rick Barnes is going to get those guys ready this summer, correct their mistakes, get them in much better physical condition, get whatever is going on with Josiah's groin, his knee, whatever, get that fixed, hopefully, and behind him, get Vescovi up to speed, and have them take a big jump next year.
Here's the stat line for tonight. Vescovi, 6 points, 5 turnovers, 0 assists, 1 rebound. Josiah James, 0 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 turnover. We're focused on is Josiah, like you said, Russ. And I mean, that's true. I'm very critical of Josiah James. I said today on Overtime that he needs to be. They should do the Dane Bradshaw thing, where they put him down at like the 4 for a mismatch opportunity. But we're holding them to a different standard based on the stat line.
Well, and, you know, a different standard, too, is he started it the first of the year and was a 5-star, and Vescovi came in halfway in the season from a different country, too. I mean, out of shape and everything. But, no, I get you guys. You know, I'll finish up with this and get out of your hair. I appreciate you guys taking my phone call. But, you know, I'm kind of in the middle, again, going back between the arguments. I just want to make the tournament next year. I don't think that's a real unrealistic expectation. You know, next year we've got the 3 5-stars coming in and people talking about Final Fours and everything like that. Hey, if we can get back to the tournament and we win some games next year, I'm absolutely okay with that. But if we don't see that next year, I'm going to be more of the Bernie type next year. You guys take care. See ya.
Thanks, man.
Why is Bernie the Fire Barnes guy and Trump the pro Barnes guy?
You know, that's a great question.
And I always, like, I identify in the middle politically, so I don't want to be on either edge on this one either,
because I think we're the same on that.
The truth is usually somewhere in the middle.
Bowden, in the second half, we went 5 minutes without Bowden taking a shot. That's too long. He was hot.
Well, and this gets to one of the criticisms I have of Barnes, is I feel like he's just a really good man morally. So he's a great person. Like, that flows down from the top and permeates everything to do with Tennessee basketball. We have great assistants, good coaches, trainers, support staffers. Like, they're just good, hardworking people. And he brings those people in. He recruits good prospects, good people as players. He develops them. He gets them ready. They check all the boxes in pregame. They have a good scout, good film session, good practices. They have good game plans. They go out there. And generally speaking, over the course of a 30, 40-game season, he wins a bunch of games when he has a full, you know, a nice roster. He wins a bunch of games. But in-game coaching, I think, has been a problem. And when you have a guy that's going off like Jordan Bowden was tonight for the second game in a row, and you struggle offensively to begin with, you got to change things up, man. You got to go to him. You got to draw some plays up for him. You got to force the issue to him and feed the hot hand. And, yeah, he bombed in a three, and then I want to say like around the 14-minute mark, and then I don't think he took a shot for like 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah, he shot
on the court the whole time.
Yeah, 17-23, he hit a three. At 14-48, the next time he shot a shot was a layup, good. 14-10, jumper, good. Then he didn't shoot a shot until the 7:42 mark when he hit another jumper.
So he hits two shots in the 14
minutes mark.
Minute.
Yep.
And then he doesn't take another shot for 7 minutes?
Yep.
I mean, that's...
And it was good, the shot.
This is what I'm talking about. It's just like this on-the-fly, in-game adjustments that he's got to be better at. And it's so frustrating. Like, I feel that the timeout issue, his answer is unsatisfactory on that. About it, it's not going to matter. It will matter.
And it did tonight. Matter. It did tonight.
When your team doesn't answer the bell, at the beginning of the game, after having a 5-second call to begin the second half at Auburn, and you come out and you're not ready to play, and you give up a, what was it, 14-3 lead out of the gates, and you're just sitting there, like, just sitting there. Like, you're not saying anything, man. Get up and coach. Like, you're a good coach. You're a smart guy. You know lots of basketball. Get up and benefit your team with that knowledge. Say something. Do something, man. Like, we need you. It's just frustrating.
I think that, again, I hate saying this like over and over again, but I said it earlier today too. Whenever, even in the Auburn game, when you think back to when we stalled so much on offense, mm-hmm. we were so focused. I mean, we were so focused, had blinders on about getting the ball down low. That was our sole focus. Now, in that span where Bowden didn't shoot, people who shot the ball, Fulkerson, Pons, James. Those were the shots. The people who shot the ball in that time, that 7 minutes that Bowden didn't shoot the ball. We're so focused, and that stalls our offense. When we can't get it down low, what do we do? That's what Rick tells us. We have to get it to Fulkerson. We have to get it to Pons down low. I mean, that's what he says on his post-game show all the time, is that we try to get the ball down low. We try to get the ball to the block. That's our first go-to. Well, it shouldn't be when Bowden's shooting as hot as he is today and as hot as he was against Auburn.
Is there any post-game comments yet from Rick?
Great question. I'll check that out. I mean, am I wrong? Does it not seem like that's what happens? We're so focused on getting the ball to Fulkerson.
Every shot comes from the paint in that scenario.
And that's fine. That's fine if you can get the ball to him. But Fulkerson gets easily pushed around. The poor kid looks like he's drunk on the floor. He's falling down. At one play we saw, he squatted down on the floor like he was about to use the bathroom. The poor kid can barely stand up when there's someone around him.
I don't mind playing through him because I think he is a good player. And, like, he's playing the Grant Williams role. Like, we're feeding him the ball. That's fine. But when a guy has a hot hand like Bowden has had, you got to feed him, man.
And it's like when we can't get him the ball, everyone freaks out. But we don't know what to do. Rick said we got to get the ball down low, so let's swing it around to the other side and see if we can get it to him on that. No, we can't do it. Let's swing it back around. Oh, no, we don't know what to do. Oh, someone throw up a shot. Like, there's no second option. Does that make sense? Like, in an emotion offense, it seems like there would be a second option, but there's not.
So I asked the question on Twitter, is just very simply, is Rick Barnes doing a good job coaching this team this year?
Nope. Not this year. I'm sorry, he's not.
Beaver Creek Bass says, no, this is the worst job he's done here, and that's saying something considering how sorry he was in his first two seasons.
He did more with the team when Kevin Punter got hurt. Remember that team? Kevin Punter was killing it. He gets hurt. I mean, who was on that team? Armani Moore?
Derek Reese.
Oh, gosh.
Robert Hubbs.
Half a Hubbs, though. I mean, he was half the player he was. But
Devin Balkman.
All I'm saying is he did more with that team than he's done with this team. And maybe that's because of the whole
Dietrich Mostella.
Oh, geez, man. What a...
He was a four-star.
What a waste.
Before he got kicked off.
What a waste.
Got kicked off early 2016
season. Quay Parker.
Oh, I remember him.
Is he the one that transferred to Texas Tech?
No, he's the short guy, dunker guy. And Shambari.
Oh, I do. Shambari Phillips.
He transferred to Georgia Tech.
Yeah, he didn't do anything.
Tortoise says, John Wooden couldn't get this team to the NCAA tournament. Losing Bone and Grant early... Darrington, Burns, and Walker transferring, Lamonte going down, and Bowden being a complete no-show. The development of Fulkey and Pons has been great. Give the guy a break.
No, it's been great. I mean, but I think Fulkerson's reached his pinnacle of basketball ability in what he's doing this season.
You think so?
I think so.
You don't think he's...
No, I don't think... You think he can get better than what he is...
Fulkerson?
Russ.
Yes. That's John, that's what we do. It's player development. I mean, you said it yourself, like he's sprawling around on the floor like a baby giraffe at times, like,
but he's always done that. He has no balance. So by the time next year comes around, he's going to magically have fixed his ability to balance.
He's averaging like what? 14 points, six boards a game.
Exactly.
He's a good player, man.
No, I'm not saying – that doesn't say – I'm not saying he's a bad player, but I'm saying he's reached his pinnacle of ability.
I don't think so.
So you think he's a 20-point-a-night guy?
No, I'm not saying that. But I think he can get marginally better, and that's, like, that's important in close games, you know. I
will say he's become a much better shot blocker towards the end of this season. Okay. I think he can get marginally better defensively.
I think he get better. I think all these guys get better, man. I think they will.
I hope so.
Let's get Hillbilly Bopper.
Oh yeah. Again. Great name.
Can we get Hillbilly Bopper? Did we just hang up on somebody? I'm sorry, Hayden.
No, we got him.
All right. Hillbilly Bopper, hey, go ahead. Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah. You guys, I'm going back to the leadership on the court. I mean, I was watching the game earlier and I saw Fulkerson like directing Bowden on, okay, here's what we're doing, here's what's going on. I'm like, well, where's the leadership from Bowden in the place that? I mean, you know, he's the senior of the team, but I mean, I get it. I mean, Fulkerson's forward. He's, you know, he's doing his thing, but I mean, I was at the game at Auburn last week and it's just, I couldn't get it. I mean, we could not make any plays in the paint to save our lives. I mean, it was like, why in the world are we even trying to throw up shots? I mean, those shots that he threw up tonight was like, okay, let's just throw them up, see if we get something. I mean, that's what high school players do, fellas. I mean, you know, you throw it up trying to get something. I know he's going in there and he's going to get fouled, but, you know, make something count. I mean, you know, we see the digression from where we were with Williams last year, you know, with Williams being down on the paint, you know, it's Fulkerson just doesn't have the ability. And I don't see it getting, you know, any better if he continues with us. I mean, I know he's probably coming back for one more year, but
we better hope he does. Are we
he's going early.
Like, am I
the folks going to Europe,
missing
everyone?
Something right now? Are we seriously killing John Fulkerson?
No.
He's been our best player over the course of the season.
I'm not trying to say – I'm not trying to kill Folky. All I'm saying is the guy he is the guy he is. Like, I don't see how – if Rick Barnes can get more offensively out of Fulkerson next season, that will be the greatest coaching thing of Rick Barnes' career.
Here's an analogy for you guys. So we're bringing back Eric Gray and Ty Chandler at running back, right?
Yes.
Two pretty good running backs. Not great running backs, but pretty good.
Yeah.
Like quality SEC running backs.
Okay.
Are they going to get magically faster? No. They've just done studies on this. College football players do not get faster from the time they hit campus to the time they leave. They just don't get faster. They are what they are. But if you get better on the offensive line and you have better quarterback play – and that opens things up to where defenses are more geared towards stopping the pass. That makes it easier on your running backs and your running game. If we get better play out of Vescovi, Josiah James, if Jaden Springer comes in and has an impact, if Eve Pons continues to develop, and if Fulkerson continues to develop, they will improve. They will be better.
100%. But that's not saying that Fulkerson – just because we have better players around him doesn't mean Fulkerson is magically a better player. It just means that he's getting a better opportunity because people are guarding the other players instead of him. They're not doubling. Every time Fulkerson hits the ball, they double him.
But, guys, who does Fulkerson have to learn from? I mean, he had Grant Williams for what, 2 years?
3 years. He came in with Grant. He just got hurt, so he redshirted.
That's right.
He's got Urosh.
Yeah,
but I get what you're saying, Russ. He will have statistically a better year next year because of the people he has around him. I get that, and I hope that's true.
I think it will be. Anything else, Bopper?
No, thanks, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Y'all have a good night.
You too, man.
Safe drive home.
Thanks.
I think we're just frustrated, man. I think we're lashing out at pretty much everybody, the coach, the players, like – nobody gets a pat. Like, we're not celebrating anybody tonight, man. It's not like even poor Jordan Bowden, who dropped 19. Like, we're still picking on him. Like,
I'm not.
I think people are still. Well, I will.
He
should
have got the ball more.
Like, it's nice that he's had two good games here. I'm glad. His senior season has been a huge disappointment.
Yeah, flaming pile of garbage.
Like, it's just what it is, man. And I just think if you replace Bowden with Springer and he's good next year, Vescovi is better, Josiah raises his level of play, and then Pons and Fulkerson are a little bit better.
What if Urosh figures it out?
Good, then that's a much better starting five next year.
Oh, night and day. Night and day better. Our team is so bad. Poor Bert Bertelkamp didn't even want to go to the game tonight. Yeah,
Bert was like, no, nah, I'm good. I ain't going to Fayetteville.
I'm out.
Bert was like, yeah, I got a meeting, and I just can't get out of it, man.
I got a meeting to go to. Can we hurry this up?
Like, maybe if this were last year and we were ranked and, like, we're, you know.
Too soon?
But, no. What'd you say?
Nothing.
Did I miss something?
No.
What'd you say, Hayden?
It was a comment from the driver earlier today that a guest made.
Bert, he had a meeting to go to.
Bert was like, can we hurry this up?
Wow. But, John...
Oh, wow. I'm losing you, Bert. I'm losing you. What, Hayden?
We've been going at it pretty hard all day. But your take on Barnes building up players at Texas is
it wrong?
Yeah, Tristan Thompson's a 5-star.
I knew it. I knew as soon as I said it.
Power forward, 5-star power forward.
What a dumbass.
Idiot.
LaMarcus Aldridge, 5-star.
Done my research. I knew Aldridge. Come on.
Okay, Kevin Durant, obviously.
Done my research. You've done your research.
Avery Bradley, 5-star. TJ Ford, 5-star.
So he just needs 5 stars. That's all.
The track record is proven.
It's proven. So Rick Barnes, coach, just needs 5 stars. That's all.
Well,
we got him coming. So show it. Show us. How many national championships did he win with all those 5 stars? Uno?
I think it's between -1 and 1.
He's won one. He won one natty with Durant. Didn't he win a natty with Durant?
I don't think so.
Rick Barnes has a national championship.
What?
Doesn't Rick Barnes have a national championship?
What?
No, I don't think so.
He won a natty with Durant?
It's a rough day for John. It's a rough day.
Like, you shut your face. Life in your head. Like, the Durant team lost in the second round.
Trey, stop texting me saying to put you on. We'll put you on when we put you on. Jeez.
Wow.
Trey Wallace demanding.
Don't take it out on Trey.
I'm not.
Because you're
I'm
just
not.
Falling
He's,
all over
my
yourself.
My phone's blowing up over here. Put me on.
He can't do math, and he can't remember things.
I can't remember things. Sue me.
Bad luck. Bad
Xenophobic
luck.
Xenophobic, too.
Final four.
Yeah. He's made one final four with TJ Ford in 2003.
5-star.
And we made the Sweet 16 last year, so.
Yep. No 5 stars.
Let's get Trey in here. Good evening, Trey. How are you, sir?
Here it comes.
Producer, finally put me on the fucking line.
Whoa! We are on the radio.
Yeah, you just take.
Woo! Oh, boy.
It's 11:30 at night. What are y'all still doing on the radio?
I'm done.
Y'all on the radio?
Did you not tell him that, Hayden?
No, I haven't had to tell anyone yet. If you listen to the whole show, no one's been cussing.
Well, we're getting fined.
Well, you got to tell me that we're on radio or not.
Well, that was Trey Wallace on Twitter.
Oh, my gosh.
He's on the drive 3 to 6 every day.
Trey, you got a meeting or something you got to get into?
Jeez, come on, man. Are you? Oh, my gosh. Hayden, you're
going to
get it tomorrow, dude.
He didn't hold a gun to your head and tell you to drop an F-bomb, bro. What are you doing?
Firing, man. Firing
off. What are you doing?
Holy moly.
Oh, I didn't. You got to tell me if you're radio only. Why are you radio only? It's not at 11:30 at night.
Every voluntary action has been radio only, Trey.
Yeah, we've been doing this for a while.
Not. Every midweek, you haven't been listening, I guess.
Y'all went 10 minutes the other day before getting off the radio.
That was on a Saturday, Trey.
This is so good. Best voluntary action ever.
Take some responsibility, John. Trey. Apologize for your actions. Promise
no,
it won't
I apologize
happen again.
For the actions, but hey, you got to let me know if you're on the radio.
That is true. He should have let you know, and that is true. You're right. For real, you are right.
I know I'm right. John, your take on Fulkerson, man, I just don't quite understand it. John Fulkerson, I'm gonna rail these off. Last seven games, 22 points, 16 points, 14 points, 25 points, 15 points, 6 points, 17 points.
I'm not saying he's a bad player now. I'm just saying,
but you're saying that he's peaked.
Yes, the Fulkerson we have, the Fulkerson we have this season is the Fulkerson that we get next season. Maybe a little bit better because there's going to be better players around him, so he's going to have more opportunity. All I'm saying,
what kind of opportunity did he get last year and the year before when he had a dislocated elbow? You got a guy
exactly. He got no opportunity.
Good, he's got a first full good season of playing basketball, and look at the numbers that he's putting up.
Correct.
If you can't tell me that this guy is. Still has the potential and can still get better in certain areas, especially next year when he's not drawing two guys on him the whole time and he's still putting up double-digit numbers. This is a player that's going to be a leader for Tennessee. And I don't think he's hit his potential yet. I think there's more. He can get more.
I said I think he can get a lot better on defense. He can be a lot better defender. He's shown that this season. He's become a much better defender. Blocking shots, taking charges, positioning himself correctly on defense, which none of our guards can do. I grant that, but I don't see that he can increase his offensive potential that much more. He's a great player. Yes, he was hurt. I get it. He showed flashes.
This is a player that's going to be all SEC. He should be
second
at the
team
end of the year. All SEC. He should be first team. Because without John Fulkerson this year, Tennessee probably has 6 to 7 more losses.
No,
this
I agree completely.
You're just
so
saying
you
that
look
he.
At what next year,
you don't think he'll improve at all next
offensively,
year?
Offensively, no. Defensively, yes.
I disagree. I think that's just
take.
It's a bad take because it doesn't agree with yours.
No, it's a bad take because look what he's done this season. Look how many games he's been in double digits and been able to lead Tennessee. And you're telling me that he can't get better with another full year of active playing without sitting on the bench behind Admiral and Grant and Cal Alexander? The guy comes out of pretty much nowhere this year after the potential that we all thought he had his freshman year before getting hurt. He's not even peaked yet. He's just now getting there. Think of next year, all the options that Tennessee's going to have on offense and then still be able to rely on John Fulkerson.
God, breathe, Trey.
I get what you're saying. And I guess we'll
you,
just see.
Hayden.
Look, here's the deal. I hope I'm wrong. If you're right, Trey, that's great. That says a lot for Tennessee next year, right? I hope I'm wrong. I want to be wrong. I want to be wrong.
You're going to.
Good. I hope I am.
You're going to be wrong about your just like your Rick Barnes won
good.
A national championship.
Good. I hope I am.
You thought Rick Barnes won a national championship? Man, John,
I know, man.
Buddy.
Look.
Let's say the F word again, Trey.
It's not like we have to teach Fulkerson how to jump out of the gym. It's not like we have to add a 3-point shot to him. But can he improve his footwork? Yes. Can he get bigger
defense.
And a little bit stronger, a little sturdier in the base?
Defense.
Yes. Can he learn how to finish through contact, which has been a big thing, especially around the rim?
I thought he's done pretty good at that, actually.
I think that he has a lot of room for improvement. In that regard.
Russell,
John, hold on a minute, bud. Russell, what are the areas next year that you look at, and especially the offseason, with the assistant coaches that Tennessee has, what are areas that you think Tennessee should actually try to improve at? Because you look at the guard play that they have, and we still don't know what Eros is going to be able to bring to the basketball team. I mean, let's face it. The guy gets skittish around the rim. He won't dunk it. He's laying the ball in. Like, it's interesting. I want to see how that looks next year. But with this basketball team and the guard play that's coming in and what you have returning, what are areas that Tennessee definitely has to get better at besides the obvious of, hey, we can't let a guy like Mason Jones go off like Ryan Klein did to us last year against Purdue?
Yeah, I mean, that's been an anomaly, though. I mean, those are obviously the Ryan Klein thing is a very notable example. But we're a good defensive team. This is a good defensive Tennessee basketball team. I'm sure Rick Barnes wants to get better in that regard. The number one thing, and people act like, you know, we need a roster flip or everybody's got to get better. You know, incremental improvement will go a long way. This offseason, if we can just learn to take care of the basketball and not turn it over as much as we've been doing, that will be a huge improvement that will show up big time in your win-loss record. So I don't think that it's like we have to, we have to just completely get better. I mean, I'm telling you, man, it's just incremental improvement will show up big time in the win-loss record next year.
Yeah, Tennessee hurt themselves. Look, Arkansas scored 18 points off 10 turnovers against Tennessee in the first half tonight. You know, you look at that halftime box score, and you look at the halftime score in general, I mean, that, even if you try to cut that in half, I mean, there was a point where Tennessee committed 5 turnovers in a 4-minute mark tonight. Mm. Like, it just seems like, you know, Tennessee will go a game or so without, you know, double digits, and I'm talking like 18, 19-type turnovers. But then you have games like this where in the second half, Tennessee doesn't commit the first turnover to the 8:23 mark. So it's so weird because it's like a Jekyll and Hyde-type situation. And I think when you look at players like Triple J, I mean, in all honesty, I think he has the ability, if he can just learn to attack the basket. Mm. And I've agreed with John on a couple of things where it looks like he's become timid at times as well to the basketball. And you just have to wonder, did he hit his freshman wall, or was this something where he could just not get over the injuries that occurred to him and trying to pick up the high-speed pace that is college basketball? So I just think it's an added bonus that he'll definitely be back next year. And then the fact that you Devontae Gaines is starting to play really good defense, and he scored, I think, 7 points tonight. So there's room where this team gets a lot better. And you hate the way the Bowden's gone out this year. But I think next year, you know, this team's not going to start the season in the top, 15. I think they could easily come in at somewhere in 20 to 25 to start the year off. But the fact that you do get some type of leadership back next year and you're not just having all these young guys come in, and I think Fulkerson can be somebody like that for Barnes. And, you know, John, I agree with Bobby to take somebody, but just on that one, I just don't think he has reached this peak yet. I think there's things that he can work on offensively that will only continue to be better. And here's the thing, and it was this. Next year, we don't need him to score 23 points, 22 points. If he can just get, that 12 to 14-point mark and be able to help this Tennessee basketball team in more areas, I think that's what's going to continue success for them. So we'll see. Sorry about that. Aiden, I blame you, but it's all good. I love you guys. Hope you have a great night.
See you, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Trey Wallace, checking in. Keep things rolling here. 865-546-8200. This has turned into a heated edition of Voluntary Reaction.
I think he's 100% on the Josiah James thing. I think he has hit this freshman wall where he's overthinking every single thing he does now.
That kid's a baller, man. And I could be wrong. I see a lot of people down on him on social media. I think that kid's going to be really good here by the time he walks away. And obviously, he's not one and done. I think, next year, I think he's going to be much improved. And he looks like at least a three-year player to me. But I think he's going to be really good.
I hope next season he can last in a game.
Let's get Zeebo in here next. Hello, Zeebo.
Guys, how's it going?
Hey, man, it's going all right. How are you?
Well, I've been better, but it is what it is, right?
It is what it is, brother.
Hey, I got a few things right quick. I know hindsight's 20/20, and it's not really fair to put it on Barnes, but looking back, was it a mistake to put Vescovi on the floor? Playing him this year, do we not wait? Save him?
No, man. I mean, like,
we couldn't.
Yeah, we had to. We had no point guards on the roster. We had to play him.
If Lamonte was still here, yeah.
And I think, look, without him, man, we'd probably be below 500 right now.
Geez, I don't even think about it.
And maybe you say, what's the difference? Because we're not going to the tournament anyway. But I think, again, gearing up for next year, having these experiences, the good and the bad, like tonight will be a good experience for him long term. It's like, man, I got lit up. He's seeing how much better he has to get, how much better he has to get taking care of the basketball, playing defensively, awareness, guarding a pick and roll. Like he's learning a lot.
I mean, this summer
right
he might have to learn to dribble with his right hand.
Yeah.
That would be a good start.
I mean, if you watch European basketball or international basketball, there's like no defense, and they it's like watching the NBA, but even worse defense.
the physicality has really, surprised him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You know, he'll have some strength and conditioning to go through, too, and put some weight on to bang around with those SEC guys.
Yeah, I mean, he might lose some weight.
I think he should.
Like, he might have to get a little bit, you know, I said earlier, you don't get faster, but you can get quicker. Mm-hmm. That's an important distinction to make, too. And I think that.
Sure, yeah. Good weight, I guess, would have been a better way to put it.
Yeah, yeah. He's going
to. He's only 18, right? He's got baby weight. He still needs to get
He's
toned.
Never lifted like he's going to lift with Garrett Maidenwald.
I bet he's never lifted
this offseason. Yeah.
Yeah. So the other thing I was going to say was this came to me as I was holding for you guys. James, just comparing him to Grant, man, when Grant came in early and he's his 17-year-old kid playing out there, we all knew how special he was going to be. Mm. JJJ just ain't that, is he?
Not right now.
Yeah, not yet. I think you can see a moment here and there. There was a moment in the game tonight. He drove the ball. He missed the layup, granted, but he drove the ball. He took it upon himself and drove it. And he looks so smooth doing it. And it's almost effortless to where you almost don't appreciate what he's doing when he does make a shot or drive the hole. And I think that's deceptive, too. He's a big guy. Yeah. And I think it comes across deceptive. That we kind of don't appreciate that skill.
Yeah, he looks like a, I mean, comparing him and Vescovi, he just looks like an SEC basketball player comparatively. It's just,
yeah. And he's what, 6'6", 6'7"? I mean, he's at least 6'6". He's a tall point guard. I don't think he's a point guard personally. I think he's a 3, and you could put him at a 4 for a mismatch. But I see where he could be a point guard because he's such a good distributor. He's so unselfish fault.
He's got an NBA point guard body.
Yes.
Now, he is not nearly skilled enough, obviously. No. But
no, he doesn't have the – I don't think he has the drive to the basket. Even Vescovi shows him up on that a little bit, going to the hole.
I think Vescovi fools people. He's deceptively fast a little bit. I mean, he's not fast, what I mean by fast, like a Jordan Bone or a Lamonte. But I think he throws people off because he's – he's quicker than you think he should be.
And it's just, I mean, it's head fakes, ball fakes.
No looks.
Wazoo.
He's shifty.
You just don't know what he's going to do with it, and that can be very frustrating to play against.
Totally. All right, we put a lot of blame on Barnes, put a lot of blame on some of the kids, but can we all just agree that Pat Adams should not be on an SEC basketball floor?
Add him to the list. Teddy V, Pat Adams.
That's pretty much
man,
it.
Man, I've hated that guy since he ended Jerron Mayland's SEC career. Oh, I mean, just absolute trash official.
What did he do to Mayman? I've forgotten.
Do you remember he gave the technical that was his fifth foul in the SEC tournament?
2013, right?
Mayman like rolled his eyes at him or something, and there's a kind of famous picture of a technical foul he's given where his eyes are bugging out of his head. He really got pissed off at Mayman.
I do remember that. I do remember that game. So,
but anyways, I just thought that's something. Heck, I think can't all 14 schools just get together and be like, do not put this guy out here. He should be in Division III basketball calling, in the deep south somewhere.
I wish.
The officiating's so bad, like, why don't we just get rid of it? Just go playground. Call your own fouls. No blood, no foul.
For real.
Let's do make it, take it. I mean, the hell with this, man. Let's shake make things
take
up.
It. Half court, make it, take it, everyone.
Hey, the last thing I got is baseball season, boys. Let's go have a few beers out there at the Lindsay.
Tony Vitellico. Love that dude.
All right, boys. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, man. Thanks. Tony V, man. Hey, hopefully in the future, in the next coming weeks, we're going to be able to go out there to the porch and hang out.
Zeebo, do you think they'll let us taunt? Like Hayden was saying at the basketball games, they don't let the students taunt the other team.
I did last season at the baseball. The Ole Miss series,
did they let you?
I was on the porch. Oh, I taunted the crap out of the left fielder. I looked up his girlfriend's name, his sister's name, his mom.
Dude.
Oh, man. He hated life.
Tony V was coming for him?
Oh, man. I said he's coming for your mom. Going to take her out to a nice steak dinner. Here he comes. Meat stick.
The student section at UT baseball games back in the mid to late 90s.
Oh, my dad's told me.
When we were good.
Was so ruthless, dude. And I'm telling you, like, they would get in dudes' heads. I mean, it was brutal. And you know, that it's such a small stadium. You would go over there.
Oh, you can hear everything.
And they're, yeah, I mean, they would take up the entire front row right above the third on the third baseline, right above the opposing team's dugout. And, like, oh, man, the opposing team's pitchers, whew, oh, they had it bad. They had it bad. Whoever's in the on-deck circle, mm-hmm. like, right there, like, 5 feet away from you. And, like, guys would have, like, they would take, you know, plastic cups and cut the bottom out and use them as a, like a...
megaphone?
Yeah, exactly. And you could hear, because the acoustics in that place, like, you could hear the things that were being said booming across the stadium. And I don't know that, like, that would go anymore because y'all kids is soft, Hayden. Your generation is soft.
My dad got a free jersey out of that. He has it in his room, like in his closet. From the UT's
student section?
Yeah, from like UT's baseball manager, like, gave it to him for like messing up Mississippi State so bad one time.
Those were ruthless, man.
I bet Vitello would love that.
Oh, he would.
Oh, I mean, he would.
Well, that's
love
what I'm thinking. We show up with like a whole fan run crew.
Yeah,
and just
I think we need to
heckle the crap out of the other team.
What, the Florida series weekend, maybe?
It'd be fun.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
It's April
the whole weekend,
18th, I believe.
Is that Easter weekend?
No, Easter weekend is the 12th.
I like that you know that right off the top of your head.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's Hayden Wallen.
Let's get Big Rog in here. Roger, you're on Voluntary Reaction presented by Miller Lite. Hello, Roger.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing all right, man. How are you?
It's rough, man.
I know. I'm fine. It is a little rough. You know, tonight, I was proud to lost Preston early. You know, I'm glad I can see it now. I missed the first summer game and I guess the second half. I'm glad. I'm glad I missed it now. Mm. I'm glad we came back. We tried to come back though. I guess we y'all happy with Tennessee try to come back with the effort.
I think we were all shocked here in studio watching the comeback. I mean, we had
I called it. I'm not going to lie. I called it.
I mean, watching them show some spunk, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when you give it up, you give it right back like that, it's hard to take anything from it.
Yeah.
It was the lineup.
Yeah. I do wonder. I heard that the tents came out a little flat. Earlier, I just wanted to ask you why they came out kind of flat. Kind of flat.
Yeah, man. I think Russ is getting a cough drop here. They came out. I think it was a little bit of a. I think they're tired. I just think they just don't have a lot of juice left. They can't go deep in the roster. They've been having to play 37, 38 minutes, some of these guys, every game. Tonight, a bunch of them played 30 something minutes. And when you're doing that night after, I mean, it's not two times a week, but still, that's a lot. You just don't have a lot left.
Yeah. Yeah, I sure you can pull on third. When you play twice, weekend and week two off that, you know, it's tough. So they're doing good. They're doing, I guess. Let's see how they do Saturday. But tonight was kind of. I'm going to try to come back. They try to come back and I guess see how they do Saturday. You know, I guess and see how Saturday and hopefully can. Anything took out for the game? Anything took out besides Tennessee would come out flat? Anything took out to y'all tonight?
Man, you come out flat. The turnovers. It was just the whole thing. Experience was frustrating, start to finish, and
Yeah.
That's about all you can say about it, Raj. I don't know. We ain't going dancing this year, Raj. That's a bitter pill for me to swallow, you know?
I know. I hope we can at least go to the NIT, hopefully, somehow, you know? I hope we can at least win, beat Florida, hopefully, maybe somehow, I don't know, somehow win Auburn, maybe. See how it goes.
Let's beat the Gators here Saturday.
Yeah. You know?
We've generally owned Florida at home. Like, since Bruce Pearl came here, like, we've had their number, man. I would love to see, since Bruce Pearl got here in 2005, 2006, I believe, was his first year. What is our record against Florida since then?
Yeah.
I would love to see that. I feel like we've won at least 70% of those games.
Yeah, I know. So, I guess it's not too much more to say, you know?
Not too much more to say, Raj. It's just one of those nights, man. It happens sometimes, buddy.
No, you're right.
It happens. Right, so, hey, give us a call tomorrow, all right, man?
All right. Have a good night.
You too,
night.
Raj. Appreciate you,
man. See you, Raj.
All right, let's take a quick timeout. Last call, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. If you want to hop on the Voluntary Reaction presented by Miller Lite. Quick word from our sponsor, and we'll be back up to wrap things up with some closing thoughts coming up next here on Voluntary Reaction.
Picking up a six-pack of beer on the way to the party is easy, but picking the right beer, even easier. Because with great taste, only 96 calories and 3.2 carbs, Miller Lite was brewed to be enjoyed from first to last. Miller Lite, hold true. Celebrate responsibly. 2019 Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Average analysis, 12 fluid ounces, 96 calories, 3.2 grams carbs, less than 1 gram protein, and 0 grams fat.
Drink what you truly want with light and refreshing Truly Hard Seltzer. Now with crisper, fresh taste. At 5% ABV, 100 calories, and just 1 gram of sugar, Truly Hard Seltzer won't weigh you down. Look for new Truly Lemonade, available now in 4 delicious flavors. Original, black cherry, strawberry, and mango lemonade. It's the perfect mix of hard seltzer and lemonade that's big on taste and low on calories. Pick you up a 12-pack and drink what you truly want with Truly Hard Seltzer. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, drink responsibly.
Wrapping up the Voluntary Reaction on a Wednesday evening. 10 minutes left till Thursday morning here, gentlemen. Probably a good time to go ahead and start wrapping this one up. Thanks, Hayden Wallen and John Tyler, for joining me here in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Thanks to Miller Lite for presenting these shows that, quite frankly, have become the best part of basketball season this year, the post-game shows. Parting thoughts, guys. Let's wrap up. Hayden Wallen.
Well, first, I have a message from Bear.
Oh, great.
He said he is 100% in on this fan-run baseball game. And he said he's trying to get some commentary about that, about what you think about it, Russell.
I'm glad that Bear says that. I feel like there is a 100% chance that whenever we decide on the date for the game, that Bear will not go.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad he's in on it, though.
We got his permission.
He's very excited about it. Okay, secondly, so let's go back to this Fulkerson thing. John, is it your opinion that Fulkerson hasn't improved from last year to this year?
No, it's my opinion that he will improve defensively into next year, but he'll stay where he is offensively.
Okay,
going into next year.
Okay, that's all I was confused on.
Yeah,
and then lastly, I would like to see Rick do exactly what he did with the 2017 team when we didn't make the tournament, and take a week off, and then train. In the same time while the tournament's going on, because that's what we did in 2017.
Mm.
We trained and practiced while the tournament was going on, as if we would have made the tournament.
Good call.
And that really helped our 2018-2019 teams, I think, get ready earlier.
Interesting. John Tyler, final thoughts?
I was going through the
Florida thing
game. Yeah, we're right now I'm into 2015-16 season, and we're 12-9 against Florida. We had a rough couple of years.
The rough patches
of Konzo. Yeah. So we're 12-9.
Still, like, for you youngins out there, there was a period like before Bruce got here. We were every bit as inept against Florida in basketball as we were in football. Like, they owned us throughout the 90s, man. We had a big win against them here or there, usually at home. But, I mean, they beat us regularly. And
yeah.
It was not fun. And then Bruce, like, his first 2 years.
Yeah, there was a three-year span where we didn't lose to them. We played them twice.
The first 2 years of Pearl were the years they won back-to-back national championships, And we went 3-1 against Florida in that span. And the only loss we had, the one loss, was in Gainesville. And it was the game we played them down there, I believe, on a Saturday. And the Wednesday before, Chris Lofton had turned an ankle against South Carolina. Like, he stepped on and did that thing. Like, he just rolled an ankle. And I don't think he played. So, and like that, and we still played him tough. Like, that's the only reason we lost that game. We would have gone 4-0 against him if Chris Lofton didn't turn an ankle in the 2 years they won national championships.
Yeah.
Like, Bruce Pearl just owned them. And I think they got us a couple of times, like, including the last year of the Pearl era where, like, everything, you know, was going to hell because of the NCAA stuff. But
I may have missed one or two, so don't quote me on this. But if I got it all right, it's 15-9 since 2005-06 season.
Wow.
We've owned them. That's home and I mean, it's total games played.
I don't know if it's ownership, but it's we definitely have the upper hand.
Considering where Florida's been, I mean,
yeah,
compared to us.
Did we lose to them in 2017? I know we beat them last year at home pretty handily.
Second year, you're saying?
Or 18, whichever
2017, 2018 season, we beat them 62-57 at TBA.
So when's the last time we lost?
I think I'm going back for it now. But remember the C.J. Watson elbow to Joakim Noah that just laid him out?
C.J. Watson, DDS.
2016-17 season, we lost at Gainesville 83-70.
Okay.
That was 16-17. That was Rick's first?
No.
Second year.
Yeah.
Right? 16-17?
So that was the Hubs team.
Yeah. That was a team.
After punter, post-punter?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. We went 16-16 that year. That's the year we didn't go to the NIT, I think, isn't it? And we
I think we struggled against Florida in that stretch when they had Wilbekin and Chioza. Oh,
Chioza.
Chioza and Wilbekin we could not beat.
Yeah.
Also when Konza was here.
Yeah. That was a I was just you forget the teams that we play, you know, like those exhibition games and those like early before Christmas games. We had a pretty tough schedule. We played Wisconsin, Oregon, North Carolina, Gonzaga.
Barn schedule's tough.
I know, man. That's insane. Anyways, sorry.
Yeah, we got a good schedule next year, too. Anything else? Parting thoughts?
I don't want my comments about Fulkerson to be taken the wrong way. I love Fulkerson.
He walks it back now.
No. Okay. I still think that the offensive production that he has this season is the peak offensive production for Fulkerson.
He's been our best player, most consistent.
Correct, and I'm not questioning that at all. All I'm saying is next year, there's no way. If he's having the same offensive production, that means I feel like that means something's wrong with our guards again.
We'll just agree to disagree there.
Okay.
I think
he'll become a great defensive player, like solid.
Okay.
But
I mean, those are two, like great and solid are different things.
A great, solid defensive player. He's going to gain weight. He's not going to get pushed around as much.
He's going to be an excellent, okay guy.
Does solid mean, like, as far as, like, toughness?
Yes, that's what I meant, toughness. Put on the weight, not get pushed around, not fall down at the wind blowing like a Devontae does, the poor guy. That's all I'm saying. He should be first-team SEC. I agree with Trey. He should be, but he won't be. Go Vols.
I guess my finishing thoughts are I like the flourish there at the Go Vols. That was nice.
I mean, aren't we? I mean, in the end, we're also going to watch the Florida game. We're also going to watch the Auburn game. Because
I'll be right here doing voluntary reaction.
Yeah.
Saturday.
We're Vol fans. That's what we do. We're gluttons for punishment.
What you got, you guys in Saturday? A little voluntary reaction?
I'll be at the game, probably.
I'll be free. At the game.
What are we going to do if our 5-stars suck next year?
Don't. That's the most Tennessee thing ever, though, right?
We'll just ride Fulkerson and Ponds, baby.
It'll be another 2019-2020.
We're going to be sitting in this same place next year, right on the bubble.
I don't.
And I'll say, I told you about Folky. I told you.
I don't think either of those guys, any of those guys, are going to be one-and-done players.
No.
But I think Springer's in particular is going to have a really nice impact, and I think the improvement of the other guys is going to make it to where we don't have to rely on them as much. I think we're going to be good. All right, I guess my parting thought is, and Hayden, you kind of, that's interesting about the whole, you know, just to heck with the NIT.
Yeah, good take.
Let's give our guys a brief timeout, and then let's practice throughout the NCAA tournament and set that as our goal. This will not happen next year. We are going to be in the tournament with a good seed, and we're going to make a darn run here. To that end, I'll leave you with a question here, and y'all can ponder this. Do we go ahead and shut Josiah James down?
I said that before he came back for South Carolina.
And at the time, like, I guess I still kind of harbored, like, an outside chance of making the NCAA tournament. I was like, no, play him. If he's banged up and he's going to need rest anyway, because I think it would be premature to shut the book on Josiah James. But if he's going to need that kind of rest anyway, if he's going to need an entire month off, if he's going to need surgery, I don't know. If he's going to need something drastic to get back to 100%, then you might as well do it now.
Is it going
to
make a difference at this point? Let's be real. Is it going to make a difference if we shut him down?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not a big one.
Then shut him down.
Not a big one. And I mean, would it have made a difference if we gave all his minutes to Jalen Johnson tonight?
No.
No. So if he's banged up and, like, it's not healing, then I would give serious consideration to shutting him down.
I said that before South Carolina, that we needed to just – if he's hurt this bad, if he's hurt this much, he needs to just chill. Just let him be on the bench. Don't play him 35 minutes, you know?
You got it. We're cracking. We're getting nutty. It's midnight.
We got to make him last.
It's midnight, man. We're getting nutty.
Getting trippy in here.
Nutty. That's probably a good –
getting nutty.
Good spot to end it.
You got to make him last all 4 years.
Yeah,
you know?
Sooner or later. That's going to do it for us. Ugh. Voluntary reaction in the books. Big thanks to Miller Lite. Big thanks to Hayden and John, everybody who made it possible. We love you all. Three and out coming in here about 7 hours. More Fan Run Radio, a full day tomorrow. And, yeah, it's going to be good, man. It's going to be good. It's Tennessee basketball, man. Just breathe, folks. Just breathe. We're going to get through this together. We're going to get through this together. We're going to do it, man. It's going to be okay. Rick Barnes loves you. And we love you, Rick Barnes. Most of us do anyway. I do. I love you, Rick.
I love Rick. Hashtag pray for Rick.
I hope he prays for me. How about that? I think, like, his prayers probably carry some weight.
I cannot wait for 3 and Out in the morning to hear Billy Williford talk about God. Rick Barnes.
Billy Williford, dude. Wait. Slow your roll,
bro. I'm going to get up just to hear it.
Fall rumor mill. Come get your man. I mean.
Easter's coming up for Rick.
What's that have to do with?
You're talking about Rick? Oh. Pray for Rick.
The Easter's resurrection.
Oh, the exactly. Resurrection.
The resurrection of Tennessee basketball. It's coming too,
We're
buddy.
Back.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all be good. Love you.